What's up, everybody? It's Heath Mulliken from the Double Drop Kick Show. Long time no see. As most of you know, we're kind of on summer break right now. Mark is working a lot. I'm working a lot. I'm actually getting ready to head on vacation. So if you're watching this in our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, you're watching this live on Thursday, July 13th. And if you're a listener of the Double Drop Kick Show, you're listening to this on Monday, July 17th. So here's a couple of topics I want to talk about just to kind of catch up and just get my thoughts out there on the last few weeks of wrestling. As most of you guys know, I haven't been watching Raw and SmackDown live every week. Just, you know, keeping up with the results, watching the highlights. But first thing I want to talk about is the G1 special that was on Access TV. I have not got to watch night two yet, but I did get to watch night one. I watched it live, and that was kind of a weird and cool day that it was a Friday, and I literally was just sitting around all day waiting for this wrestling show to come on, which is, I mean, that's just rare. I was really excited about that, in particular, the main event with Cody and Okada for the IWGP title. So that was like a good feeling, like, hey man, I'm excited for this show, and I'm just kind of trying to get through Friday to watch this thing live on Access. I thought the Cody Okada match was fine. I think sometimes, especially with somebody like Okada, we have these crazy expectations of what they're going to do, especially this year, as Okada is just having a phenomenal year, a phenomenal string of great matches, a phenomenal string of great title matches. I thought his match with Cody was fine. I thought it was a good professional wrestling match. It was entertaining. I think it showed some of Okada's strengths. I think it showed some of Cody's strengths. I think it also showed some of Cody's weaknesses. I think Cody, you know, one of his strengths is his charisma, but in that, so for me, the story you're trying to tell is here's Cody Rhodes, who's just won the ROH title, and I thought that was I thought his match with Daniels was pretty good, and I wasn't surprised. I mean, I think they kind of foreshadowed that Cody was going to win the ROH belt. But in his match with Okada, there were so many times where he could have, you know, pressed the advantage. He could have, you know, gone for the pin or tried to win, and he didn't. He was taunting and showboating, which again, that's one of his strengths now, is this charisma and this you know, character deal. But I felt like, I don't know, I would have liked to have seen more urgency. That's just me. That's nitpicking. I enjoyed the match. The other match I really enjoyed from night one was Kenny Omega, Michael Elgin. Thought that was, again, it was a good professional wrestling match. Wasn't the greatest match I've ever seen. It wasn't the worst match I've ever seen. It was a good professional wrestling match, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. The fact that, you know, the fact it was part of this tournament added a little bit of intrigue to it. And I enjoyed the match. And Omega is just, he is at this crazy level right now. And from what I've heard, his the finals against Ishii was even better than his match against Elgin. Let me say a couple more things about that show. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to get as many, it's kind of like old school WrestleMania mindset. You're trying to get as many people on the show as possible. But there were way too many multi-man matches, and all of those matches were essentially the same. They were car. Now, there were car crashes and all that. Now, having said that, did they entertain me? Yeah, they entertained me. I didn't get emotionally involved with them, but they were entertaining. But I just felt like it was just way too much. I also felt that if you're New Japan and you're trying to introduce your product to a new audience, I felt, especially the first match, the opening night, I think it was, you know, Young Bucks, like an 8-man tag, and they didn't really explain the rules. You know, you had guys coming in and coming out and no tags. And that leads me to kind of, you know, Jim Ross, Josh Barnett. You know, a lot of people have talked about their commentary that night. And they, I'm not going to say they were bad, but they weren't at their best. I think Jim Ross at his best is, he's telling a story. Okay, that's his strength, is telling the story and then inserting the physicality into it. Inserting, you know, he used to just talk about guys, their athletic backgrounds and stuff like that. And that was the seasoning. That wasn't the substance. That was the seasoning to the story he was trying to tell. And what they're trying to get him to do with New Japan, and depending on what you read, you know, that this is, Axis is wanting them to call wrestling like MMA, and it's two different things. And so, so with New Japan, or with that, this show, they're trying to take the physicality of it, and then the story was the seasoning, if that makes any sense. But I just felt like, and I don't know what the issue was, but I didn't enjoy, I did not enjoy the commentary. The commentary for that show took me out of whatever they were trying to do. I may be a rare guy. I really enjoy, I think Kevin Kelly and, Cyrus have good chemistry and do a good job, especially on some of Okada's, matches earlier this year. So it's good. New Japan's, you know, really hot right now. The question is, who are they building to be the next Okada? Okada's 29. A lot of their major stars are mid to late 30s. Who's going to be that next guy? Because Okada is carrying that company. Tanahashi kind of brought it back several years ago. Okada's, so, if New Japan's not careful, they're going to run into the same thing, you know, WWE's run into. Let's talk about Great Balls of Fire. something I never thought I'd hear on a podcast, or me say on a podcast. Don't want to kind of, I thought the tag team Iron Man match, good. Really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the booking of that match. The fact Sheamus and Cesaro getting a quick fall. I love that. The fact that they teased a blowout, and then the Hardys came back, and then how Sheamus and Cesaro got the deciding fall after Jeff had hit the Swanton. I just thought it was really good booking that may. I just thought it was I really enjoyed it, and thought it was great booking. They told a great story, good physical action. I felt like. I didn't feel like they threw out everything in the kitchen sink, but I felt like, you know, they did a great job. Let's talk about the ambulance match, Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. I just enjoyed the heck out of this match. There were so many things about this match that just were great, and they were great for this reason, is how I watched it. I watched it as Roman Reigns is the heel and Strowman is the babyface. That's how I watched this match, because that's how they presented it to me. And the one of the biggest, you know, I think I was watching this on my phone because their internet wasn't fixed yet. But dude, I popped huge when he is hitting Strowman with the chair and Strowman just looks at him and says, "Hit me again. Hit me again." And Strowman kind of fires up. Oh, my goodness. I thought that was awesome. To me, in all of WWE, they, and I don't know if it's by design or by accident or just that Strowman has got this charisma or this, Strowman knows who he is, but they've done a better job building his character than anybody else in the company. That's just my personal opinion. I enjoy Strowman because he's believable. The whole thing at the end, I felt that if you're going to do that, okay, Because if you believe what Kurt Hawkins tweeted, that him and Slater didn't know. They're just kind of sitting there and like, guys, go put it out a match, which makes sense because those are two SmackDown guys. Why are they on a Raw pay-per-view? Because this backstage segment just took a long time. I would have put that earlier in the show because I felt like that whole deal took away, and you can kind of see it in the live crowd. They're waiting for Brock and Joe. That's what they're wanting to see. And so the stuff with the ambulance in the back, which I thought was great, pretty well done. I thought, man, you have just put Braun Strowman over as the biggest baby face. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. Refusing medical help. Bleeding. There's a shot where he's leaning on the bus and he's just kind of looking back. And I thought, dude, that's baby face right there. And so for me, I'm able to enjoy that. I'm able to enjoy Roman Reigns because he's a heel. I'm booing him because he's a heel. I'm booing him because that's how he acts. The dude tried to kill somebody in an ambulance. He deserves to be booed. Not because of a booking, just because of who he is. So I enjoyed that. Joe and Brock. The criticism I read on Twitter about this match is that Joe didn't try, that it was a good match, but Joe didn't try to get the chokehold on hard enough. And I didn't perceive it like that. I saw as the match was going on and Joe couldn't get it locked. My brain, okay, and this was what was great about this match, is I forgot they were having a wrestling match. I thought they were having a fight. Like this match made me suspend my disbelief because that's how they booked Brock Lesnar. I mean, Brock, everybody thinks, man, Brock's going to go into business for his own. You know, he did the thing at WrestleMania where he, cut himself and he wasn't supposed to do that. And then him and The Undertaker did the stuff they weren't supposed to do. And then he busted Randy Orton on and Brock Lesnar just goes into business for himself and da 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 da. So he's unpredictable. So whatever, I suspended my disbelief. And so when I see Joe, he can't get that choke locked. I took it as, dude, Brock's a big guy. That's not Paul Heyman he's trying to get that thing on. That's not Finn Balor. That's not Seth Rollins. That's Brock freaking Lesnar. And he just couldn't do it. That Brock's head is so big, his body is so big. And I just took it. I didn't take it that Joe wasn't trying hard enough. I took it as Brock's a big boy. And I really enjoyed that match. People didn't like the finish. At first, I was like, oh man, that came out of nowhere. And I'm like, that's kind of how a finish should be. We've grown so accustomed, especially some of these great New Japan matches, and one staple of these great Japanese matches is the finish is a whole segment of the match. It's this build. I think we talked about this before. When we bought Jim Cornette's Lost Mid-Atlantic tapes, the thing that surprised me the most was that there weren't a lot of finishers in the 70s in Mid-Atlantic. And a lot of the finishes came out of nowhere, like a drop kick, boom, pin. So I liked, he hit him with an F5 and the dude didn't kick out, and that didn't hurt Joe and it made Brock seem that more unstoppable. But you left thinking, man, Joe could beat that guy. Joe could beat that guy. You left thinking, man, Brock escaped. And that's great booking. That is great booking, which leads me to the next thing. Kind of want to talk. I'll talk about SummerSlam here in a minute, but I love the build. I love the build of SummerSlam. Sorry, I got distracted there. The Raw segment Monday night. And again, I normally don't watch Raw live, but I did Monday. And then when I found out when Brock was going to be on, that's what I wanted to see. So I kind of did what I was doing. And that's one of the best segments of Raw that I've seen in a long time. I loved it. I loved that Reigns interrupted him. I loved how Brock talked to Roman. Loved it. I loved that Joe came out. I loved the interaction between all of them because it seemed again, I suspended my disbelief, and my son was sitting next to me on my couch, and I could not contain myself. I was going nuts when they were talking smack. And it was great. It did not seem, even what Roman said, it did not seem scripted. And I know it was, I know for a lot of it was, but it seemed like they just said, man, y'all go out there and just talk trash to each other. And it was great. Angle comes out. Man, I loved the whole setup. Loved it. Because it felt like three grown men in a ring just trying to say, you know, I'm the measuring stick, or I'm the man, and you're, I just loved it. Like it just had this feel, and everybody was talking about, oh, the Attitude Era's back. The Attitude Era's back. And I'm just like, nah, man, that harkened back to the 70s. That harkened back to the 80s. That was just good. The Attitude Era, man, one of the things that made it great is it felt like it was supposed to, okay? But everybody's saying, man, the Attitude Era is back. Listen, no. But I enjoy that, and they need more of that. They need more believability. And it helps your believability when you got three guys in there that all weigh over 230 pounds. That's just me. The only thing I want to say on the SmackDown side is I just don't want to see Jinder and Randy at SummerSlam. Pretty sure that Jinder's going to walk out of Battleground, whatever their next pay-per-view is. I just don't want to see Jinder and Randy. I don't want to see Randy Orton in the title picture. That's just where I'm at in my life right now. I loved, you know, some of Randy's stuff with Bray. And I wish that would have gone on longer, but that's life. Last thing, here we go. Support indie wrestling. Indie wrestling is everywhere. I live in South Carolina. There's been a lot of great indie shows, and I've just been so busy, man. Evolve was in North Carolina last Saturday. They were in Georgia on Sunday. I couldn't, because of prior commitments, I couldn't make either of those shows. And from what, you know, just from hearing, just some really great shows. PWX had a great show on Saturday. And then Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. There's just so much great independent wrestling going on right now. And I know I got a lot of friends from Asheboro, North Carolina who are wrestling fans. There's a lot of wrestling in Asheboro, North Carolina. I'm excited. July 28th in Columbia, South Carolina, or near Columbia, South Carolina, they're doing a show called Indies United. It's a fundraiser, but they have gotten four of the top companies in South Carolina are all sponsoring title matches, and it's a night of champions. And we're working on a deal right now. For Mark and I to do commentary for that show, to do the video production for that show. So we're hoping to work that out. I'll put it this way. On their end, the invitation is there. We just got to work things out on our end, on our schedules. But it's awesome to see more companies working together. Wrestling is not a business that lends itself to a lot of trust. And because a lot of people in it are not trustworthy, and just to know that there's more and more honorable people who are out there and wanting to work with you. And so I'm excited, man. I'm excited for this. But if you pretty much, if you anywhere you live in the United States, you can find some independent wrestling. And, you know, that's why I'm not, you know, tied to WWE, because there's enough independent wrestling that I can find enough wrestling out there to get my fix. And that's where I'm getting my fix now, is I would rather go to a small live show than watch Monday Night Raw. That's just me. That's where I'm at in life. So I hope everybody's having a great, great summer. Don't forget, man, DoubleDropKick.com. Now's a good time on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at the website to catch up. because we are kind of on a break, man. We're getting close to 200 episodes, which is absolutely mind-boggling to me that this little podcast we started about 3.5 years ago, 200 episodes. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. And to think, you know, when we started, there weren't nearly as many wrestling podcasts out there. And so, you know, our goal is to keep doing what we're doing. And I told Mark the other day, I think we're going to outlast a lot of these podcasts, a lot of the professional guys from wrestling podcasts. I don't get that they're really in it for that they like podcasting, but it's an income for them. And I feel like a lot of these podcasts, man, they're going to play themselves out. And there's going to be some smaller podcasts like us that are still chugging along. So it's good stuff. Don't forget the Scenic City Invitationals in Chattanooga, Tennessee. First weekend in August 4th and 5th, I think. And I'm excited to be a part of that and heading up there. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm going to get to see a lot of guys wrestle that I've never seen before. Some guys wrestle I've never heard of other than through this tournament. So if you get a chance to go to a promotion that's maybe 2-3 hours from you, you're going to see some guys that maybe you never heard of, and you're going to want to kind of follow them because you never know who WWE is going to sign next. So thanks for all your support. Mark and I are going to be live once we get out of vacation season. We'll be getting back live. Thanks for being a part of what may be, you know, one of the largest independent wrestling groups on Facebook. I would say no, the largest independent group on Facebook. I mean, we're close to 100,000 members. And that's all thanks to you guys. And we try to keep the conversation civil and clean and fun. So, as always, for the Weekly Dropkick, I'm Heath Mulliken, and we'll see you soon.